The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Can you hear me?
Clinical muscle starts. The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Devices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. Vijay Puri. Along with me, as always, is Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Busy morning. We both had a busy morning. Freaking school started today.
What the hell? That's crazy.
I had to get BC up. He was grumpy as fuck.
BC, big country.
You don't like that kid when he's grumpy. Nah, he was pretty good. I'm just kidding. But running around, it's freaking crazy, man. Fall, school, football's coming.
Isn't that
around.
That's just, it blows my mind, man. Like, I feel like a summer, like we were just talking, literally just talking about, what are you going to do this summer? You know, where are you going to be? What are you going to, you're going to stay at the beach house, you know, all summer long? We were just literally talking about that. Now it's like, oh, fuck, summer's over. School starting and football season and get fat now, right?
Yeah. No, well, actually, that usually works opposite for me. Now it's time for me to get rid of the fat.
No shit. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not like complete go crazy, you know, dieting
but structure, right? Just some structure. Yeah.
We Team Ogden gets a little more structure in our life when the kids are in school and doing their sports.
I bet. Yeah, that makes things a little easier when it's just, you know, they're at school all day, so there's a whole chunk of time where you don't have to be eating junk food. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, we're not taking them down the beach and going to the boardwalk every, you know, and ordering out and doing this and doing that for, you know, because, yeah, you can't. When you have kids, man, you know, even if you want to be like super perfect, I mean, at least this is my sort of life because I do this for fun. I want them to have fun too. And I'm not going to like force myself like, we can't go out because I need to eat chicken.
Oh, of course not.
You got that family time. And then so as soon as they go back, me and Chrissy were like, we're like, oh, thank God. Now we can start eating better again. Get everything balanced back out. You know, we'll have the same regimen every day. It's like, it makes a huge difference because even when they're home, if you're perfect, it's like, pick me up here, take me there. I got to pry. I got to go to my girlfriend's house. I got to go here. I got to go here. So you're like always on the go. And it's like, it makes it really difficult to keep perfect structure.
Yeah. I live a very, very different lifestyle than you, but it's like, when you talk to me about like all the stuff that you got to do for your kids, man, it stresses me out. And I don't know how you do it, man. You know, like I couldn't even put myself in your position and be like running around all day and taking care of kids and stuff. And they're not, you know, like little children, man. They're like, you know, these are like little tiny adults, you know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it'd be like to have little children running around having to do all this stuff and then try to stay on track with diet and exercise and whatever else, you know.
It's kind of good to have that break in the summer though. It's a mental thing. Like I'm reared up. Like I actually feel like I ready want to diet like for real, but
ready
I'm
to
not
go.
Going to.
Yeah. You got to build up your metabolism a little bit. You can't just, you know, it's like you're even though you've been enjoying yourself or whatever, you got to get back into like a certain track and get your metabolism primed in order for you to start dieting. You know what I mean? Like you can't just jump right into it. I did a lot of competitors that make that mistake too.
Yeah, no, that's what it basically is. Got to get the program structured back, you know, get things in line to, you know, make sure everything's prepped right and, you know, that kind of thing. And when the kids leave, and our kids, you know, they go to school pretty early, so they're out of here by like, you know, I think 6:40 the bus comes or something like that for Stevie, and maybe Haley's a little bit earlier. But so then, you know, now no one's here till 3:00. I get to do everything I need to do.
There you go.
You know, and then they go to football practice and whatever else practice. So makes a big difference.
I'm excited. I'm excited for I fall is my favorite time ever. You know, it's like
me too, man.
Yeah, it's football season. I get to. Well, I mean, I've been enjoying myself with food for the last fucking basically since the beginning of August. You know what I mean? So I'm not starving. You know. So, but it feels good to not be hungry all the fucking time. You know what I mean? You need a break, man. It's like, you know, we diet most of the year and then. It's not that you just let yourself go, but man, you need to refresh. Otherwise, if you plan to do this again, you know, you're going to have suboptimal results. You know what I mean? Going in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's kind of what I look forward to, that is getting things like, you know, sort of revved up, optimized, and, just, God, you get, it's fun. It's fun to have fun, but man, you start to feel like shit. Hey, that's why this morning, it was either you or Scott were like, oh, school already? I'm like, no, me and Christine are happy about this because now, you know, we can get back to us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For 8 hours a day or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Believe me. I've already like cut out sugars, like no more sugars. You know what I mean? It's that I've got to get a little bit of structure back going on. But sugars kill me, man. And nothing makes you feel worse about yourself than sugars do. You just feel like shit, and you know what? Like, a lot of clinical depression is linked to like higher blood sugars. You know, so it's like
I believe it.
Like just sugar intake alone and highly processed foods, which kind of convert over into sugar, just leads to depression. You wonder why depression is so high in this country. You think it's our living conditions? Maybe you got the most fucking freedom in the world. It has not living conditions. It's your food intake. All these people that suffer from depression, it's because all they're eating is goddamn sugar most of the day and no protein, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's bad. Cutting out sugar is huge for me. Just, I can stay leaner, a lot leaner, because, man, once I start eating Oreos every other day or every day, it comes on fast. And before I know it, I'm in the mirror like, what the fuck happened, you know?
You know, the other thing is even like, not just my diet, you know, although I still try to do like 6 meals a day, I'm not, you know, usually, you know, everything's pretty much the same every day, but when it's summertime, we kind of let loose a little, and I'm still doing like eating this and doing the best I can sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, it's still different because with the kids and running to the beach and, you know, like this, like Sunday after work, like I was at work and they're like, we're going down the beach, meet us there, you know, at 10. I'm like, oh, well, what am I going to eat? You know, we don't have any food, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And also even get off track taking my basic health supplements. You know, I'll be running around. Oh, I didn't take them yesterday. I took them at 10 o'clock last night. So now, you know, everything gets back into like schedule. And man, I freaking like my life to be not like scheduled. It's weird. I just like it like that. I like at 8 o'clock, I eat my breakfast and then I go to the gym. Then at 11:30, I eat my meal too. And then I take my supplements
that's like an instinct in you that makes you a good bodybuilder, man. I mean, that's called consistency, right? If you got consistency, you go pretty far with bodybuilding, you know?
Actually, I feel worse. Yeah, like I said, I feel like it's fun, but every day goes by, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get back on track.
yeah, I know. It's a catch-22. It really is. But hey, before we started recording, you were talking about your therapy. What, tell us what's going on? What's happening with your therapies?
Oh yeah. So, I think I got therapy today at 11:30. So, and I think I'm going to end it. My elbow is like finally like 80%, I'd say 80-90% better. I mean, I can't even tell you how bad it was. I was telling Dave Pulcinella the other day about it, and he told me, man, I've had that so many times through my life where you can't even lean on it. Like,
I'm getting there because I know, fuck.
Yeah. I couldn't even – so this is when – I think I probably said this already, but when I tried to have – I couldn't even – when football season practice started, I couldn't even have a catch. I couldn't throw a football like 1 yard.
It Yikes.
Was like severe pain, dude. I mean, it was bad. And then I couldn't even pull the freaking cable down with no weight on it. So now I'm sitting here right now, pain free. I don't even really feel that much point tenderness. 2 days ago.
So what were you doing for your for elbow therapy? What was he doing for you?
When I go, he's doing like a soft tissue stuff, and then he'd do like some focal ice. And then he was doing like had me doing certain stretches in, like with the foam roller.
Oh, okay. Wow, on your elbow. Okay.
And then he basically had me doing tricep exercises, but only negatives. So basically like a reverse tricep pull down. I pull it down one hand and then do the eccentric. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just fight it. And man, in the beginning, that hurts so bad. I mean, I was only doing like 15 pounds. And then he has me – then I would do – you know, he was increasing me. So I did a set of 10 the first 3 days. And blah, blah. Now I'm up to like – I could do as many as I want now. But I was up to like two sets of 15 of them a day. And then he has me basically doing another negative exercise, basically a one-arm tricep extension, except I don't push it up with my arm. I push it up with the other arm and just do the negative.
Huh.
Yeah, and he explained to me what that's doing exactly, but I forget the exact. So basically, he has me doing negatives, basically.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of motor recruitment, even though
that's
it's just,
what it is. It resets the fibers, resets the nerve patterns.
Yep.
And
yep.
Dude, the shit works for sure. It like totally works. Mm-hmm. And then in the beginning, what's funny is my whole theory on that was, you know, like we always teach people with RICE, right? Rest, ice, compression, elevation with, tendinitis, acute injuries and stuff like that. Actually, he didn't want me to do ice in the beginning. He wanted that pain. He wanted that inflammation there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Well, it's chronic, chronic issues. Right. You can't really use too much ice with chronic. It's not going to help, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then, to sort of, get things sort of laying down the collagen right again and get that up. But man, it worked.
Yeah.
Right now, anyway, so I don't think I'm going to get the PRP shot, but I haven't done anything extensively. So, and I don't plan on it for a while. I'm going to ease. Like I said, I was telling you 2 days ago, I did some really, I'm talking embarrassingly light, like hammer strength presses. And I did some neutral grip, like palms facing each other, dumbbell bench.
Yeah.
And it felt fine. And so then today, I think I'm going to try to increase it a little bit and just see how it feels.
You got chest today? Or are you doing?
I'm going to do legs, but I'm just going to throw in like an exercise of chest. I just want to see how it feels.
Yeah.
I'm just doing that for fun to test myself. Now today's actually I'm going to go do legs when we're done. Well, after my therapy at 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's doing better, man. It worked. I'm happy. I'm freaking out. I was thinking, fuck, this thing's never going to get better. And it's been fun. I hear you.
I'm not that bad yet, but I've been battling this thing for probably almost 2 years now. I don't know where the bottom is. You know what I mean? It's gonna give out. It's eventually. Here's the thing. It's like ebbs and flows, and it highly depends upon like, what supplementation I'm using, where my estrogen is. You know.
Yeah.
I find like when I let my estrogen increase a little bit, things really do start to heal up in my elbows, but then
I was going to say that should make it feel better. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, with the supplementation, even with like, even with these SARMs, even with this S4, this S4 is really interesting. It's like,
Yeah. You haven't updated on that in a while. How's that going?
It's super interesting. I'm trying to decipher what is doing what, you know, because I'm only on TRT and then S4 and then of course all kinds of junk food. I'm trying to decide is this my metabolic response to junk food, because my body just likes junk food. It always has, you know what I mean. But things are growing, you know.
You do your pictures, you look bigger. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just really round, but that might just be glycogen overcompensation, right, from months and months of dieting, right? So I don't know exactly if it's a S4 or not. What I can say is that for how I've been eating, and between the S4 being the only variable that's in there that's new, I'm much leaner and I'm like assimilating food to like a way higher degree. Like I should be way fatter than I am right now, but I'm not. You know, I've got a lot of water retention, but that's just from junk food, you know? So, it is interesting. Nutrient partitioning effect of this stuff for me personally has been like eye opening. Like, holy shit. Like, wow, is this what gear is supposed to do? You know, because S4 is technically, I mean, it's an androgen receptor modulator, but it acts a lot like Anavar would for me without any side effects other than like the joint issues. Like with Anavar, any DHT derivative for me is like immediate death for my elbows and knees. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is, man. It's just like, I don't know what the blood work is doing or what, but like it's like within a day or two on using like a Winnie or a VAR or something, anything DHT or even Masteron, I'll start to develop even worse pains in my elbows and knees than they already were. So I don't know what that says about joint integrity and collagen destruction. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's that fast or not, but I can definitely tell you that the S4 has a similar effect. And I can't remember if this is DHT derived or not. I think it is, actually. Now that I think about it.
As you're telling the story, people are now on their computers, like firing up every research website they can find that at.
Yeah. I got mine from Blue Sky Peptide. Yeah, things have been going good, man. I think I've been on it for about four weeks now, maybe 5 weeks.
You've been
on
it for a while.
Yeah, so it's it's like I said, it's super interesting. Like I'm not like I don't know, man. It's just a brand new experience to me, so I can't really quantify it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, but it obviously is doing something because every time I see your picture, I think to myself, I think he's grown. Like you're not like fatter. You're like freaking arms the other day were like huge. I was like, damn.
Yeah, yes.
Now, let's talk about this. Have you had any side effects?
No, other than the joint pain, no side effects. Oh, you know what? I did have that yellow vision.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah. Other than that, but no. And it's weird. Awesome. That yellow vision, it's like a tint. You know, it's like you're looking through sunglasses sometimes, but it's not that severe. Like I only notice it because I know that it is a potential side effect. So I'm looking for it. I'm waiting for it, you know, but if I didn't know about it, I probably wouldn't notice it. I'd just be like, oh, things are just you know, the different wavelength of sun going on or something. Yeah, I don't know, you know, but
that's funny because, yeah, sometimes you can do that to yourself. You know, you can sort of if you're looking for a side effect. You may be more attuned to if you get it. If you didn't think about it or didn't know anything about it, you may not even notice something, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, I don't know that I would have noticed it otherwise, you know? So, but you know, and I'm still keeping my dosages relatively low. Right now I'm working my way up to, like, close to 50 milligrams. A lot of these guys on the boards are going, like, 50 to 100 milligrams of this stuff. I don't think that's necessary. I don't know. I'm not in a hurry. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to put on lean mass. I'm not trying to get bigger. It's just kind of happening on its own. I don't have a choice, you know? And that's cool. I'm fine with that. You know, lean mass is always great. As long as it's lean mass and not just general mass.
just what I have, general mass.
General mass. A lot of I can tell you there's a lot of water retention. I haven't even taken a weight, but I'd assume just from like water retention alone, oh gosh, probably maybe 204 or so, you know? So man, not bad. I'm enjoying this stuff. I'm different. My metabolism is different. My chemistry is very different than a lot of other people. But I'd recommend someone trying this out for themselves, you know, at least.
Or at least their manatee.
Yeah, at least someone that their pet
has a pet manatee. You know what? Not to change the subject, but you mentioned football season. I can't believe it's going to be this Sunday, and I got to give a little shout out real quick.
Yeah.
Just to my former Steelers team that I had to step down from, who went 0-12 last year.
I remember.
And I'm so happy that them kids are 2-0.
Wow.
And going to be in first place this week.
Holy shit. And there you go.
Yeah. They're the new coach that took over, you know, after I stepped down, he talked to me and I was going to put my son back in the draft. And we had a bunch of kids. So, you know, when I did the draft last year, I picked a bunch of kids that I thought would be good in their 11th year. In other words, our second year as a team, which was this year. I picked these kids and they were younger kids. And I said, well, I knew last year was going to be a down year, but my hopes was this year was going to be an up year, because in our league, that's kind of how it goes. When you take over a team the first year of the new level that you're at, every team doesn't do well. Mm. But then you get all your returners back the next year who are now a year older, bigger, stronger. And then they go against new kids and you add some new kids, and usually the second year teams do better.
Yeah. And they understand like the patterns and they understand the game better too.
Yeah. I mean, totally. Even my son, man, he's doing so well. Like, he's killing it right now. He's freaking, I'm so proud of him. And without me as his coach, he's just loving it, man. And, You know what? All the kids, we had some returners from the team, and the new coach had a great draft, and he brought some kids, his own son and one of his coach's sons who's a really good player. And I think they're going to be in contention for the championship, man. They're looking really good. So he got my quarterback that I drafted back, the receiver that I drafted, Stevie, another big kid, and it all just came together. They had a really good game in the mud this weekend, and they beat a team that, you know, was like a heavy favorite, and they didn't just beat them, they beat them handily. So it was good to see that. So man, it's like bittersweet, you know, because I wish I could have seen it through, because I knew that was going to happen. But it's good to see them kids smile, because, man, there was a lot of tears last year, even myself.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So
yeah,
so they're hopefully they can keep that streak going. You know what I mean? So when you picked up, when you picked like all these kids and stuff, were you like, I want all the black kids?
No, actually, but no, here's funny. All joking aside, that was an ongoing joke for this year's draft. When I was also, I didn't decide to step down from coaching, I think, till like April, and we start the draft and everything like July, or maybe it was even later. It might have been even May. I decided, oh yeah, after I stepped down from the medical director position, I had to. That's why I did it, because my job now changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have freedom of schedule that I had. So in May when I stepped down. Last year, that was the funny ongoing thing, was like, that's it. Next year, I'm taking all the black athletes. I'm taking all the black kids.
all black. Doing some racial segregation here for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm even trading in my son.
You gotta keep him, man. He's a big kid, you know. It's like,
I know. I'm just kidding. And that's funny. Is that the reason why that's an ongoing joke is because it was between me and my friend Gary, who's black. So
yeah.
And he's the same one who I had the story with, and I'm sure I told it before about. this was one of our drafts about 4 years ago. I'll make it real quick because I think I told the story before. So at the end of the draft, the kids that don't get picked, nobody wanted sort of thing.
Oh.
They put them on the board, their names on the board. Mm-hmm. You don't know what these kids look like. You don't remember the kids that didn't stand out at the little combine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there. It's a great story, but I'll tell. We're sitting there, and it's it. And they're like, okay, Colts, you're up. You know, just there's four kids on the board. Just take one of the names. That's going to be yours, you know. And so the thought is, if you recognize any of the kids, maybe you could get a steal, like a – you know, like a diamond in the rough. So there's like Stevie, you know, Billy, Jimmy, and Rayshon. Right. Yeah. So, well, we were thinking it said like Rashawn, like Rayshon. Right?
Uh-huh.
So me and Gary, Gary's like, Gary, I'm like, Gary, what should we do? He's like, dude, I don't know, man. Rashawn. I'm like, yeah. And we're joking. Like, we got to take black kid, right? You know, he's probably going to be an athlete, you know? So fast forward a month later, we have the opening day announcements, and all the little kids show up, and they start calling out names, and they call out Rayshon, I think that was the name, and here he comes running out, and he was the cutest little white kid you ever seen. And me and Gary look at each other, and we're like,
"Oh my god,
that's what you get for stereotyping." Oh man, it was so I'll text him right now that name, you know, kind of thing, and we'll just bag up, and we're like, that's what we get for stereotyping, man. Like,
yeah.
we got duped on that one. So that's like the ongoing joke. Yeah.
That's funny. I remember that. I remember you telling me that last football season. That was
funny. Yeah, I know. I know I told it before, but it's a great story because we were like really like, yeah, we gotta get, you know, he's probably gonna be an athlete, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably awesome.
That's gonna be our stud.
Look at his name. I guarantee you he's got cornrows, he's got gold teeth. I bet he's got huge quads.
He's probably got abs and jacked already. Doesn't even lift. You know, let's take him. We're laughing. We got one here, you know.
Yeah.
And here he comes running out. Hey, coach.
Oh. Like,
what's your name?
We got to put him on the team. He's just too cute not to.
Nah, he's already on the team, you know. But the funny thing is, we were just like looking at each other, and it wasn't even. We didn't even have to speak words. We just looked at each other and just started crying, laughing. We're like, he caught us on that one, man. So,
oh man,
can't judge a book by its name for sure, you know.
No, that's for damn sure. Yeah,
that's a great story.
Yeah. So, Doc, we've got a bunch of questions here. What do you say? We've got questions here from our emails and from the forums. So you know, listeners, if you want to send us questions, the best way still is forum.advicesradio.com. Should be a link there once you get there. It's bodybuilding discussions. Click on that, and then clinical muscle should be at the top there for as a sticky. And then just go ahead and submit your questions right there, or clinicalmuscle@gmail.com if you are a little shy, you don't like forums or whatever. But that really is the best way, because even this morning we were kind of shuffling around trying to figure out where the questions were from the emails and stuff. But we got them, and you know, that's always a viable option still. So. Let's go to the forums. Let's get some questions done from there, and then we'll jump over to the emails here. First question from the forums here. Docs, what do you think of Forskolin supplement for weight loss?
Okay, I'm going to preface this by – I'm not going to preface it. I can't lie. I don't know much about it. And when I first read this question, I thought it said – foreskin for weight loss. What do you think about foreskin for weight loss? I'm like, I think that's at the wrong show. Yeah. Like, somebody, that must be some other show.
It's a new supplement.
So here's the thing. Obviously, if I don't know something, I'll look it up. I looked it up. I read about it a little bit. You know what? It seems to have, to me, what I've read, mixed sort of reviews. It works. It doesn't work. It apparently increases cyclic AMP, which is the reason why it can sort of help with energy burning and fat burning. And what I really took out of it was it really isn't going to drop your weight so much, but it has, for this, just from the reading I did, it can help to sort of prevent further weight gain, sort of thing. And you know, so long story short, what do I think about it? It's one of those things that I'll say this: I don't know enough about it to go tell someone to take it, and I think there's way better options to add to your regimen. You know, just even Yohimbine, just to throw one out there. Mm-hmm. Caffeine, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know if I would start off my fat burning, you know, diet cycle with Forskolin. I don't know why. I mean, I haven't. I never even really read about it too much. So I'm probably not the best answer on that. My thought was, after reading about it, it doesn't seem like something would hurt, but I think you could invest your money with other better things that would help you weight loss. Like I said, it's one of those ones I'm not super familiar with, just to be honest. I mean, I've read about it, but it's sort of like the one where I skip the page if I see it, its name. Not that interested. So, yeah, but from what I read, I don't think it's harmful. I don't know if it's worth it, though.
Yeah, Forskolin has been around for a very, very long time, probably going back over 20 years now. It's been around, and it's never really took off, and that should give you know, your first inkling as to whether the effectiveness works at all. That being said, it's very energy dependent, like you said. It increased cyclic AMP, and I think it has something to do with AMP kinase too. I could be wrong. I'm just going off of what memory says. Either way, it kind of works with your own body chemistry, right? So, if you have if you've got a pretty quick metabolism, then this stuff will kind of amp it up just a little bit more, and you might get a little leaner. Problem is, most people that are looking at Forskolin supplement for weight loss and for losing fat are usually people with sluggish metabolisms. So if you're trying to ramp up a sluggish metabolism with something that's very weak to begin with, forget about it. It's not going to work, man. You're better off investing in some chicken and some broccoli, you know. But
yeah, that was my point. I'm not even sure it would be worth the money. I mean, I could think of all kind of other things I would rather start with.
Yeah. So I mean, it can work. I noticed that when I took it way back, I think when it first came out, I remember like my body heat was going up just a little bit, you know, only for maybe like an hour or two after taking it. But I also noticed like I was breaking out a lot more too. So I don't know if Forskolin has something to do with like sebaceous glands or I don't know. You don't know what it does, but I broke out pretty bad, and I don't break out. You know what I mean? I just don't. I've never. I just that's not, you know, my skin doesn't do that. So this stuff, I don't know, man. It's just a lot of supplements have stood the test of time. You know, and there's a reason for that. So you got to invest your money wisely in stuff that's going to work best for you. I can't say Forskolin is going to work for everybody, because it's not. Like I said, if you already have a quick metabolism, it may help. But otherwise, forget about it. You know, you've got your own shitty cyclic AMP that's not working so well because probably your diet sucks. Your training's not well enough, you know. So that's what you got to fix first, you know.
I mean, I always go with. like I said, it always struck me as, I mean, I've seen its name. I've read it for forever. It's always been one of those things where I thought it was on like sort of the Dr. Oz level.
Mm-hmm.
Where yeah. Like I'll see its name and, you know, next you'll see Doc. I don't know if he promoted it or not. I'm just saying. Then you'll see his name next to it. And I don't know. It's one of the ones I see it and I change the page. I never really got into even thinking about trying. I just can think of so many better ways to burn fat and so many even substances and compounds. And if you're talking like that kind of stuff, that would just do a way better job. And I don't even know how much a bottle of Forskolin would cost because I've never looked it up, but I'm sure there's other things that you could spend your money on better and get more bang for your buck.
Yeah. Way back when it first came out, it was pretty expensive. I don't know what it is now. I have no idea.
To each his own, though. You want to try it, throw it in there. It doesn't sound like it would hurt you. I don't know. It's not my thing.
You know when Forskolin came out? That came out around the same time where when pyruvate came out, like people were like they were selling pyruvate, like it was
again another one I think I probably saw and didn't change the corner on.
Right.
You said it great, man. If it hasn't really, you know, panned out, test the time sort of thing, it's probably not worth the hype.
Next question here. We'll go to the emails here. Hello, Dr. Veej, Dr. Steve. First, I would like to say I truly love you guys. Oh, that's nice to hear. Thank you for submitting your question here. What you do is awesome, and you're both real people and honest. That's great to hear. I'm glad that listeners think that we're not some like fucking fake turds or something, you know. So
yeah, I mean that's just like good. the last question. I'm not going to lie. I'm not the foremost expert on freaking Forskolin. I'm a doctor. I don't go around writing scripts for Forskolin.
Forskolin. script for Forskolin. It's a product of the it's a weight loss product that the Jews put out.
Oh like, my God, we're going all kinds of like politically incorrect.
Yeah, we're getting rid of our foreskin, and we got to do something with all these skins laying around. Let's weight loss.
Yeah,
let's powderize these and put them in a weight loss product.
Pack them up in bubble gum.
All right, question is, I'm 43 years old, 5'10", 182 pounds, been lifting since 2003. 1.5 years ago, I had blood work done for test levels, which was 230 total. I was put on 200 milligrams one time a week injection of test SIP below. Oh, so he sent his labs, all right? So below his last results, as you can see, the test is high. With all that you've said, do you think I should see much muscle gain and strength increase? He says, I eat roughly 2,700 calories a day, train 5 days. 5 days a week with a bro split, and yes, I eat bro foods. I've competed 7 shows prior to 2009. Haven't done any since, so I know. I know how to get in shape and all that comes with contest prep. That is not my goal anymore. I just love to lift and want to be healthy and want to, as both of you, put on more muscle mass from seeing my levels go from 230 to 1,500 nanograms per deciliter. I thought I would have gotten bigger and stronger. Just curious if you see any red flags with my lab results and possibly why am I so damn hungry all the time. I'm like both of you, I can gain weight overnight if I look at food. Thanks, gentlemen. So we looked at his blood range, his blood values here, and everything actually looks pretty good except for his, you know, mean corpuscular volume. So his, you know, his blood is might be a little bit thicker. I don't see his hematocrit. Do you see his hematocrit anywhere?
Yeah, it was 50.
It was
right in the middle.
50. Oh, I see it. Yeah. So it's fine. You know, I don't see anything in his blood work that looks wacky at all. It you know, obviously his test is free. His nanograms per deciliter. Oh, this is nanomoles per no, that's something else. Sorry.
But, yeah, it's a little bit skewy because it's sort of listed. That was, believe that was his sex hormone binding globulin result, which was in the middle too. It was fine.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so it just says greater than 1,500. So this is probably like a LabCorp question one. Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean,
all right, I'm just going to skim through the questions and try to answer the little, you know, the questions he put in the question sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, so. I mean, first of all, I agree with you. I don't see anything at all with his blood work that would make me worry or think anything, you know, is going on. His first part of the question, he says, you know, with all that said, do you think I should see much muscle gain and increased strength? I mean, it says you were greater than 1,500, but how much greater than 1,500? I don't know. I would say I would have thought you would have saw something for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But then I'm going to skip ahead to some other things he said. You know, he eats bro foods. He does all that. He's competed. And you know, his big thing is, why is he so hungry? Well, when I looked over his stuff, I mean, so he increased his test level to 1,500, which above 1,500, which you would think would give him – you know, an improved nutrient partitioning, nitrogen retention, and, you know, put him in a better spot to put on muscle. But, you know, that all being said, but he hasn't really noticed any, you know, sort of, for lack of a better term, gains with that, right? You know? But I wonder if he just needs more calories. You know, he says he's hungry all the time. His body just may be more efficient now with the increased testosterone levels. And he's doing 26 to 2700 calories. Maybe that's why he's not noticing any difference. That's what I was thinking. Maybe he needs to eat more. Maybe, you know, maybe he needs to maybe dirty it up a little bit. If his goal would be to put on a little bit more muscle, even though he says he does, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, get he just, you know, go crazy. But when I was looking at it, labs are good. You would think he would have saw some kind of improvement with the increased test levels. But then I look at his calories and I'm like, I don't know, man. I can lose weight on 2,500 calories, 2,600 calories. So maybe it's that. Maybe he just needs to eat a little bit more. That's what I was thinking.
I wonder what his body composition is like. Like, yeah. From like, you know, 1.5 years ago to now. Because I don't know that his, like, he doesn't say you know, he doesn't say that his weight has changed or anything. Yeah. But if he is 182, if he was 182, you know, 1.5 years ago, and he's 182 now, still, like, his weight hasn't changed. Unless he's a complete non-responder, there's no way that his body composition shouldn't have changed at least a little bit. You know, right. he should be the same weight, but noticeably leaner looking. You know, so yeah, muscle is probably being put on. It's just at a rate that's, you know. Look, this isn't a fucking, you know, 500 milligram cycle here. This is still technically TRT.
Right.
Keeping you in that higher range. We don't know if it's 4,000 nanograms per deciliter or if it's right on the cusp of 1,500 nanograms per deciliter.
That was the thing when it says just above 1,500. He might be 1,501.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And if that's the case, that, you know, that would make sense because you're not going to put on a shit ton of muscle in a short matter of time, but over the course of, you know, maybe two years or so of consistent high test levels with proper training, proper diet, all that stuff, those are the kind of gains that you want, you know? I mean, that's like slow muscle being put on. That's the kind of muscle that you keep, you know? So, yeah. So it might be a change of just body composition. As far as hungry goes, that is completely testosterone and estrogen related. I don't know that he has, you know, estrogen listed here. I don't see it. Did you see it, Doc?
I think it was normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did when I looked at it. I just can't remember exactly on the report it was. I'm pretty sure it was on here though.
I'm seeing free tests. I'm seeing.
I might have been looking at them. We had other labs too. I could be getting them wrong. Okay. You know what?
Monocytes, lymphocytes. I don't think there's an estrogen value here. That's something else. What is your estrogen value? If your estrogen value is very high, then your turnovers, then that, you know, you're going to put on more body fat, but estrogen is it's a hunger hormone almost, man, for a lot of people. So, I mean, think about when women start having that first week of, you know, of uterine shedding, you know what I mean? So it's like estrogen goes way up. What happens when estrogen goes, your premenstrual cycle, you know what I mean? Your estrogen goes way up. For women, what happens? Fucking hunger all the time. They got cravings. They want food. They want this, that. You know, their body is getting ready to prime that uterus to start shedding, you know? So that is a side effect of high estrogen. I'm wondering what his estrogen levels are. I bet they're high.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that on here. He has free tests. He has SHBG.
Mm-hmm.
The way they're listed, I'm hoping I'm not overlooking that, but I don't. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't see it now that I'm triple checking.
Yeah, I just don't see it anywhere.
I'll look into.
So along with his TRT that he's currently on, you know, I'm wondering if they put him on any aromatase inhibitors or even bothered looking at his estrogen at all, because that, I promise you, that is where the hunger is coming from. If it's not coming from estrogen, your estrogen's fine. Then it has to be directly correlated to the fact that, you know, that testosterone level is kind of catching up with you to where your body kind of wants to grow, and maybe you're not feeding enough, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. And I didn't think, you know, I didn't think about, you know, maybe your weight hasn't changed. Maybe your strength really hasn't gone up. But what do you look like?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that tells you a lot.
You leaner? Are you leaner in your midsection because, you know, your fat distribution has changed? Mm-hmm. You know, are your shoulders rounder, you know, and your waist smaller?
Yep.
You know, as your your composition changes, you may look way better and not change your weight. How many times do pro bodybuilders do shows and they're on stage at the same weight they weren't last year, but they look drastically different?
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Because the things change. So yeah, that's a good one, BJ. But like I said, I was thinking, you know, also like, you know, when I look at the 2,600 calories and he's doing that consistently, which is great, by the way, that's what I'm about to do. You know, you wonder if his body is just more efficient with the higher test levels. You know, he needs maybe a little bit more calories, you know, just to see. And then the estrogen thing, I didn't even know, you know, notice that it wasn't there. And I thought I saw one, but I think that was somebody else that I was thinking of because I looked at
we have a couple of questions with labs on them. So it's tough to kind of keep track of them, but yeah, man. So get those things looked at, and we'll be able to figure it out. Keep us posted, you know.
Yeah, and just like you said, is there any red flags? No, the labs are good, except for get the estrogen on there if you didn't have it.
Yeah, definitely get estrogen going. All right, let's head back over to the forums here. Hey, docs, I just got my blood work done, and my TSH came back in the low range of normal, but still in the reference number. However, my free test was real bad, much lower. My free T4 was real bad, much lower than the low end of normal. I'm currently on 3.6 IU GHEOD every other day. I suppose that might have something to do with it. I'm currently on a diet trying to lean down and then start a lean bulk with very good conditioning and build from there. Would you recommend adding 12.5 micrograms of T3 and 50 micrograms of T4 in combination with the GH and do blood work in 4 weeks again? And also, Dave Palumbo mentioned never to do blood work while on cycle to check cholesterol, etc. He said clean out when coming off and then do blood work when what is your opinion on that, docs? Very much appreciated for this podcast and you taking the time to answer these questions so that we can better ourselves. Thank you for saying that. We'll try. We'll at least give you a C-grade answer. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, so, for sure.
But Doc, let's start with his T4 question first.
Okay, so I know, you know, he's talking about dieting down and maybe doing a lean bulk sort of thing, and so yeah, we know that being on the exogenous GH that it can give you like hypothyroidism, sort of, you know, it can lower your T4 mostly because it's increasing the conversion rate to T3, from what I understand. So I actually probably, if I were going to be his doctor and he was on prescribed growth hormone at 3.6 and he was low on his T4, I may just start off by letting his body sort of fix itself and give him just some T4. And then let it take advantage of that extra T4 to sort of use its own T3 in the beginning. And then if he were trying to, you know, really increase his metabolism and burn some fat, maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea to add a small dose of T3, but I wouldn't increase that T3 too high, because then you're going to really sort of negative influence your GH potentially, from what I understand. So I would start off by replacing his T4. He's got hypothyroid. The T4 is fine. He didn't say he didn't show a T3 on here or say that it was normal or any of his other thyroid.
That's
numbers.
What I was wondering about.
Yeah, I'm just going with the assumption that that's the only thing that he saw. Man, I think if I were your doctor and I saw a lower TSH and a free T4 that was low, but you still had either a normal or high T3. I may just supplement the T4. That's just where I would start. I'm not saying that's everyone's opinion. That's what I would do.
Yeah, no, I don't. That's exactly what I would do too. Yeah, so I don't. We don't know what his T3 value was. He didn't say. Sometimes the problem is when these TRT guys, these TRT doctors, take your thyroid. Sometimes all they ever do is TSH, and sometimes
I mean, I can't lie. That's what I start off with too.
Right, yeah, and sometimes they'll do TSH and T4. You know, but you know that T3 value is like. Sometimes, actually, I have to say, most of the time, when doctors looking at T3, they don't even look at T3 values. They'll just look at TSH and T4 and be like, "That's it. That's all I need to know." That's not right. I mean, you should know what your T3 is. You got to know what your T4 turnover is like, you know, into T3. So that's kind of like a base point for you to figure out whether or not you need to add any T3 or not. You know, otherwise, why? You don't know. You don't know what you're doing. If you're taking 12.5 micrograms of T3 and, you know, you already have a nice output of T3, then you're setting yourself back.
Exactly. You're going to create a negative loop and shut down your thyroid. So, I mean, just assuming all his, you know, his T4 level being low is related to the GH, and even if it wasn't, and let's just minus the GH out of the equation, and he came to me with that number, I would still start with Synthroid and let his body do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, let's say, a bodybuilder in contest prep who's just trying to get shredded, then you might, and not on GH, then, you know, obviously I think T3 would be a better choice for that.
Mm-hmm. Hell, no, you know, even then you could use both.
Helpful to use both. In this situation, I would if everything else is normal, I would replace the T4 and let your body take advantage of the higher level conversion that it needs of the T3.
Mm-hmm.
Just my sort of thing.
Yeah, I got nothing to add there, man. That's pretty much what I would do too. There's nothing I can say. As far as blood work goes, and not checking your blood work on, I think you should check your, whether you're on cycle or not. I think every 8 weeks or so, maybe 12 to 16 weeks, you should get something done, just to figure out. I like to have blood work done for people when they're on cycle, because those are the values that you need to keep an eye on. You know what I mean? It's like, those are the values that are going to be super elevated. You know what I mean? But when you're off cycle, those values are the ones that you still want to keep an eye on, because things just, you know, when you're under a heavy cycle of some sort, those values are going to go up, you know? But even at a natural level, they might already be a little bit on that higher end too. We don't know. So it's good to have a scale to work with, so you know where your health markers are. So I don't agree with Palumbo when he says that, you know.
me neither. So no. There you go. Now, I mean, yeah. I don't have anything to add. Sometimes, you know, it's like, to me, and I love Dave. In fact, I've learned a lot from him. But on this one here, I think that's potentially
it's neglectful a little bit.
It's just like purposeful denial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're. I'm not going to look when I'm on this trend, because I know that my creatinine is going to be 1.5. So I don't want to see that. So I only want to see it when it's good and when it's not good.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my liver enzymes at 600 when I'm on this 100 milligrams Anadrol, halitestin, D-ball, and everything else. So I'm only going to do it set 12 weeks before and 12 weeks after.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I never heard him say that, by the way. But I think if you can get it done, you should get it done, like Beach said. You don't want to be too neglectful on that.
Nah, you got to be mindful of those health markers. You'll know the ones that you need to keep an eye on, because they'll be super elevated when you're on cycle, and they'll be still a little bit high end. Like people, like blood pressure. You know, some people just have high blood pressure. You know, it's like a genetic thing. It's familial, and they're just born with high blood pressure. What happens if they go on gear? You know what I mean? That blood pressure goes even more. That's like a skyrockets from there. So, you know, that's something you just got to be mindful of. And with all these health markers, you just got to be mindful of them, whether you're on cycle or off cycle, and know what to expect when you're on cycle. This is all about prevention, man. Look, if you don't care, then fuck it. You don't do any blood work, you know, but you should care, and you should watch those health markers. They're important.
Yeah. Like I said, I agree with that.
Well,
hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Next question here from the boards. Hello, gentlemen. I have been tracking my thyroid levels for about a decade. My first blood test was TSH only, and it was TSH only. See those fucking doctors. And it was 2.01 range.
Sorry. I hate cutting you off, but yeah. It's so terrible that I have to admit my guilty conscience on this. I mean, that's the box you check, man. It's like, damn it. You know, I know about, but for a long time, I mean, even now, if it was, I'm going to talk about general population.
General, people. Right. General, I can see that for sure.
I will automatically do a TSH and free T4, you know, but we're talking bodybuilding. It's probably needs to be a little extensive, but it's funny when damn fucking doctors, well, I'm horrible. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just that way because that's what I want to know. I'm like, fuck, I don't give a shit about TSH. Give me all my values. You know what I mean?
You're so right, though. Yeah. But sometimes we get into this just checking off fucking boxes thing, and we don't really think it through while we're ordering these tests. I'm going to tell you that. I'm a doctor. I'm not a fucking liar. I mean, he's a CBC, a BMP, a TSH, a lipid. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I forgot. I hate when I do that.
So he said his TSH only was 2.01 and the range is 0.5 to 5.00. So he's kind of like right in the middle there. Over the years, it has increased slowly. So his TSH has increased. Okay. Last year, my TSH was at an all-time high, 3.64 range out of that same range. So from the same blood sample, free T4, 1.5, and that range is he's kind of on the high end there too. Free T3 is 2.9, and that range is middle. Antibodies negative. My TRT doc put me on thyroid meds. I've been taking 5 micrograms of T3 and 50 micrograms of T4. My last blood test while taking this medication, TSH was 1.6, free T4, 1.22, and free T3, 3.0. Problem is, I don't feel good. Symptoms, sweaty hands, very hungry, especially after taking the thyroid meds. No pump in the gym. Muscles are flat despite increased carbs. Fatigue, sleep in the afternoon, loss of vigor, essential, etc. I am also on 100 milligrams of testosterone SIP per week and 250 IU of HCG twice per week. Before my thyroid medication, I was very confident, aggressive, and had high energy. Now I drag ass through the day. Do I need to take the thyroid meds? Two of my aunts of my father's side have Hashimoto's. Okay. Great show. Keep up the great work. Okay, so this is interesting. What do you think here, Doc?
First of all, his question about do I need to take the thyroid med? So I'm going to give you just my thoughts, not my recommendation on what you should do about this scenario. Please, I don't want to be anybody's doctor. I'm not here to do that. We're here for fun and just to give some information. So follow what your doctor says. But here's my thought. First of all, as Veej was reading, I'm looking at all your labs, and then you got, your original labs. I agree, your TSH was climbing, but it's still in the normal range, and you felt good.
You felt good. That's it. Yeah.
Your T4 was still in the normal range, even though it was climbing a little bit, higher end of normal. T3. In the normal range, higher end of normal. No, actually, not even higher end of normal. And antibodies negative. So we know you don't have Hashimoto's disease at this point if that's the antibodies he's talking about. Then he adds in the combo of the low-dose T3 and T4 for a climbing TSH.
Right. That's fucking weird, right?
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't even have treated you at all. This isn't even subclinical hypothyroidism. Your TSH never even got – okay, I know, guys. I'm going with the TSH because that's what I know.
Right.
Your TSH never even got out of the normal range, and neither did your other hormones.
Nope.
So I got to be honest. And then let's look at what happened after you started the supplementation, which is kind of foggy to me. To be honest, his numbers didn't change at all except his TSH dropped in half, but it's still in the normal range. His free T4 was almost exactly what it was on the last
one. Right.
It was 1.5 and 1.22, and then his free T3 was 2.9 and 3.0. The 3.0 was on exogenous T3.
5 micrograms at that. It's just fucking nothing, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can say the 50 mics of T4 is a pretty standard dose start, but your TSH – Your levels never change abnormally, so I don't know why he started you on this. Maybe just because he likes to be proactive and he saw a trend, which is why we check blood work. But man, if you're still in the normal range, you're still in the normal range. And I'm not a big fan of adding medicine for no reason. So
yeah, you know what?
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to let you read between the lines on my thoughts about what to do with that.
Yeah, I'll come out and say it, man. That's fucking retarded. I think this doctor put so much of his thought into TSH and only looking at TSH. He saw that TSH value climbing, and he got spooked. You know, and so he's like, "Oh shit, that must mean that your T4 is just, you know, tanked." But it's not. It was in the range. It didn't change at all. This whole medication thing is terrible. And the guy said so himself, man. He's getting symptoms of hyperthyroidism. Clearly,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's only on 5 micrograms. That means there was nothing wrong with him to begin with.
Next thing you know, he'll be in AFib in the hospital. You know, and they'll be like, "What? What is heart?" Why are you taking these thyroid medicines? Well, my doctor put me on them. So, even though your numbers don't show it, you are getting symptoms of hyperthyroidism from probably exogenous thyroid medicine that you don't really need.
Yeah. I can't give you any medical advice, and the doc definitely can't either, but I could tell you if that was me, I would drop that shit in a heartbeat.
Okay, am I allowed to say that? If that was me, I would drop that shit in a heartbeat.
Yeah, thyroid meds are not necessary.
And if it was me, I would then go get my blood work done again in 6 to 12 weeks.
I was just about to say that. Just go see if that was correct, because it would probably self-correct, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so I'm going to go back to my, you know, when I was in primary care, and when I would treat hyperthyroidism, obviously, I already said it, we do a TSH and a reflex. This is the test that's normally done to screen. It's just a screening test. Is it the best test? Obviously not. Most of us would order, I'm talking primary care docs, a TSH with a reflex T4, free T4. And like I said before, what that means is TSH is out of the normal range. They're going to go ahead and test a T4. If it's in normal range, they don't test anything else. And I wouldn't even consider doing a complete, full thyroid panel on, let's say, a regular patient, general population patient, not a bodybuilder, until I would see like maybe double digits TSH if their free T4 was normal. Then if it got up to that high and they were having symptoms, you do the whole thing. That's kind of how I did it. But if they were double digits, I would put them on some T4 to start with, some Synthroid.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, dude, even with the medicine, nothing changed except he feels like shit.
Hey, Bryce.
So, you know.
It doesn't make sense, man. It makes no sense at all.
I would have a good discussion with your doctor of the thought process, and I personally would probably encourage him not to. I don't feel good on that medicine, and let's just see what I do without it. Mm-hmm.
That's the route that you should probably take, is what I'm saying. Let's head back over to the emails here, Doc. This one comes with some blood work. Right off the bat, I'm looking at the blood work, and there's nothing real alarming there. Triglycerides look good. It's decent value. HDL looks really good too. But let's get to his question here. Hey, nearly two docs. Oh, wow. That's good. My value is getting higher and higher. I think we must be putting out some good content, you know?
Oh, wait! Do you see the next board question? We scored.
Okay, let's get through this one here. I love your show. Been listening since episode 1. Very cool.
Today is episode 20 of Clinical Muscle.
No shit. You're right. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Happy episode 20, V.
Yes. What is that in like anniversaries? Like if you had your like 20-year anniversary, is it like the gold anniversary or silver anniversary, something like that? No, it's not. It's like
oh my God, VJ, you're going to get me fucked up right now. Guess what? I have my 20th wedding anniversary September 28th.
Oh boy, you better.
And I don't know what that is. Is it silver?
I don't know. Oh man, there's like a whole list. Like your first anniversary is like paper. You know, is like you can give a gift of paper, and then your second anniversary. Yeah, there's like a whole. It goes all the way to like 100 years. It's pretty crazy. I think at like 100 years, you get a diamond or something. That's how you celebrate. That's like a diamond.
Oh, Christine's a liar then, because she already got a new ring.
She's
raised it 100 years, man. She got one in it last year.
You got.
It doesn't matter if I know or I don't know.
Yeah,
she'll figure out what it is and go buy it herself.
Yeah, I'll send you some flowers today.
Yeah. Well, we may be living with you soon if this episode fucking hurricane washes us out. So.
That's right.
I told you that last night.
Yeah. Well, shit, man. You want to come to Michigan? We're safe up here from any hurricanes.
We don't know anybody out there except for you and Scott. So Christine was in the shower, like, we were texting. She's like, tell them we're coming to live with them if this hurricane really comes here. I said, we're going to drive west and go to Michigan and with the pack.
Damn right. You'll be going northwest, man. You'll be far from anything East Coast. You'll be far from any oceans, but you'll be safe. So it'll be good.
All right, back to that. Sorry.
He says, let's see here. Very entertaining, helps me get through my workday, whether it's cold or raining or 114 degrees. I'm 35 years old, 6 foot tall, 12% body fat, and 183 pounds. I have a very active job, working outside 6 to 7 days a week, and I lift on average 5 days a week, a combo of bodybuilding, powerlifting, and strongman exercises, plus run my dogs two to six miles 1 to 2 days a week on the weekends, now that I've been able to do that for the last 2 months. I eat healthy, but I do drink a fair amount of soda. With my active job, he didn't say if it's diet soda or regular, because that makes a fucking huge difference. But
I'm going to assume it's diet. I'm hoping. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but I'm looking at his blood glucose. I looked at his blood glucose right away. I was like, oh boy, what's he? He's normal, so he's fine. I'm guessing it's diet soda, which is not a big deal. He says, with my active job and workouts, I need 4,200 calories a day to maintain my weight. Tough to do with only clean eating. My lifts are pretty good for my size, but far from where I'd like them. 280-pound bench, 415-pound deadlift, 385-pound back squat to 90 degrees, and still a 6-minute, 30-second mile time. That's impressive. I mean, I'm not a runner, but, you know, that sounds pretty quick to me. It's taken me over 10 years to get to this point.
A 6-minute mile?
Yeah.
Fuck. Hell yeah.
Yeah? Is that quick? It sounds fast.
I do a half an hour mile. So.
Me too. I'm thinking about my cardio. I'm like, man, it takes me like 20 minutes to do a mile at 3.4 miles an hour, right? So six minutes is pretty fucking fast.
It's like Flash fucking Gordon to me.
No kidding. My problem is I'm very slow gainer, and I can't seem to lower my LDL or raise my HDL no matter what I do. I take plenty of sups, fish oils, multivitamins, pH balance, creatine, and just started red yeast. Not sure how it has affected things yet. My macros are 25 to 30% protein, 50% carbs, and remainder is fats, which I try to keep saturated to a minimum. Attached are my labs over the last several years, so we looked at that. I'm most concerned about health and longevity, but adding to my bench and squat while dropping below 10% body fat would be great. What would the two docs recommend to help correct my cholesterol while getting better, stronger body, or am I just asking too much out of a non-enhanced 35-year-old with a soda addiction? P.S. I am interested in TRT, or I heard you guys talk briefly about GW 50 carterine, and I'm hoping you can go into more detail about its benefits and downsides. Could any of this help, or is it better idea to stay natural? I've tried a few cycles of Winnie years ago, the last two following Clomid to help recovery, but have not taken anything but protein, creatine, vitamins, etc. for the last 3 years. Thank you very much, Docs. Keep up the great work. You really helped me get through my days, especially when it's 110 degrees out. We must live in like fucking
Arizona?
Texas or something. Texas, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So,
golly.
Yeah. California. Looks like California, actually. So,
okay. Yeah. Somewhere that
makes sense. But, okay. So, What is his main concern here? What is he's just looking to
cholesterol.
That's what it seems like to me.
His main question is he can't get his cholesterol better, no matter what he does. And so, you know what's funny? I'm looking down the page here,
but
and
cholesterol is not bad. I mean,
no, I think that's what we're overanalyzing. And this may be a good quick second to go to do a quick review of what we skipped our health segment, and I just may do a quick touch on that quick because.
Yes.
Yeah, real quick. So long story short is I'm looking at his labs and I think I cut his LDL off, but his total cholesterol is 197. His HDL is 44. And I do remember looking at it before I sent it to you, and I think his LDL was pretty decent already. So I guess the question here is, what do people think is good with cholesterol numbers, you know? Look, if you're looking to get your HDL to 70 and your LDL to 70 and your total cholesterol to 100, I mean, you know, that may be overkill if you don't have any other looking at your numbers. I think his numbers are fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see any crazy worrisome things. Yes, your HDL is 44. And if you're worried about that because you want it higher, listen, that's still a good number and it's normal, quote, normal. Mm-hmm. Anything above 40 HDL. Supplement-wise, this is what we were going to talk about today, was a little bit about niacin. Should we take it? Should we add it? And this may be a good case of someone who may benefit from it if he was just looking to increase his HDL only. And being that his triglycerides and LDL aren't terrible, he'll get a little lower of triglycerides and a little bit of lowering in LDL from mm-hmm. adding niacin.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question nowadays from the medical field is, should we be taking niacin?
Because we should be.
Well, I think we should be too, but here's the thing with the recommendations by the American Heart Association, who dropped niacin as a sort of basically saying we shouldn't be using it because of two large trials that were done, I think in 11 and 14, I could be, 2011-14. And a long story short is they both showed one of them showed increased side effect risks with niacin, and the other one basically didn't reach the endpoints of reducing cardiac events. However, you got to look at the people. They looked at the one study, added in a drug that was supposed to stop the flushing, and the other one, these people were already on cholesterol medicine and already had problems. So if I look at that, and they both use extended release niacin. Well, when I take niacin, I don't take the extended release. I take niacin. I want to feel the flush.
Yeah.
When I think of the flush, that's the main reason people stop it is intolerance, But, that's the one that really does the trick on the HDL. And I two large studies, you got to look at them hard. I personally think people over the counter can – healthy people, bodybuilders, people who aren't on medicines, people who don't take blood sugar medicines and not diabetic, because that's the other thing. It had an increased risk of blood sugar issues. They had an increased risk of bleeding in those studies. But – listen, I personally take niacin 500 at night. I flush a little bit. In fact, I don't even know if I flush anymore. I'm kind of used to it. My HDL has always been 50, or above. It's been good. When I wasn't taking niacin years ago, it was 20s, always genetic, and I was probably heavy. So, look, I think for this guy, if he's healthy, he's not diabetic, he doesn't have any pre-existing heart conditions, and he's not on cholesterol medicine already. If his goal is to just improve his HDL, LDL, and total cholesterol to make it, quote, better than it is, because, man, I think you're fine just the way you are personally, then I think maybe adding a low dose of 500 niacin over the counter, not the flush free kind. That's extended release, the real old niacin. And you take that at night and you take it with a snack to minimize the flushing. Or even a baby aspirin, which, by the way, is cardio protective too, unless you have some kind of GI problem or something like that. I think that's something you could do to increase your HDL. But I really don't think you really need to go that crazy with that. Your numbers don't look bad.
Yeah. We didn't see what his LDLs were.
I did. And I think it was like 137, if I'm right. I did see it. I accidentally cut it off. So I'm pretty sure that it was decent. And just... you can extrapolate his LDL just by basically looking at the triglycerides.
And those HDL. And his cholesterol too. They're all normal. If his
total number is 197, mm-hmm. 81 triglycerides and 44, it can't be much LDL.
Right.
Because it's mathematical calculation. LDL is calculated. The only direct – yeah. So anyway, his LDL has to be fine. And again, the other benefit about niacin, if you don't have all those problems and you don't fall into the big – all those people that they'd used for the same sort of scenario for those two big studies. It also changes particle size. Niacin pushes our cholesterol to a more improved particle size.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say size, the less dangerous kind. So, yeah. And that's another benefit taking it. So even though you may read that, we no longer suggest niacin as a, cardiac prevention medicine or anything like that. It doesn't, lower the risk of heart attack, strokes, and things like that. It still does raise HDL, improve LDL, and triglycerides, and has some other benefits. And as long as you're not going crazy high dose, because that's where you start to run into the liver enzyme elevation, when you start to get into grams of niacin, that's when you run into that. 500, maybe titrate up to 1,000, 750 if you're tolerating the flushing. And that may be something you want to try. But I just thought that this was a good case to talk about, because that's what I want to talk about, the niacin. Should we be taking? I think if you're healthy and you have low HDL, it can't hurt, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. I still use it. I'm a doctor. So anyway, yeah, that was
the niacin is I don't know. I honestly I don't care what any of those studies say. Niacin is a B vitamin. I have B3, I think. And all your B vitamins, they are essential micronutrients. They wouldn't be a micronutrient if they wouldn't be classified as a micronutrient if they weren't necessarily needed. They need, your body needs it. You know what I mean? So, I wouldn't worry about any health risks with that. I mean, you'd be have to take a shit ton of niacin in order to fuck up anything in your body. Chances are, whatever doesn't get used, it'll just get shit out anyways.
Yeah,
it'll just get cleared out, you know, or peed out, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all the years I was taught, you know, niacin's good, it works, it helps. Add niacin to your cholesterol patients if their HDL is low. Mm-hmm. Add fish oil if their HDL is low. So the first things I would add and of course now the guidelines, just so everybody knows, when we're looking at cardiac prevention, we're really interested in LDL, getting it as low, and particle size, getting the LDL as low as you can. Triglycerides and HDL, you know, sort of secondary things, you know, I mean, but when I was it's not that long, that's how quick all these people think things change so fast. When I was in medical school, you know, I was taught if someone comes in with high triglycerides, low HDL, and like metabolic syndrome type stuff, of course, aside from diet and exercise and lifestyle changes, if their LDL is okay, use fish oil and niacin, you know, it'll increase the HDL, lower triglycerides. And here we go. We have two large studies that come and change the whole world on that.
Right.
And I just don't – and the studies had limitations, you know, that some of the people were older. I still think niacin, non-flush-free version, is good for health. Like you said, it's in food. We're putting it in freaking breads and our whole – like we fortify things with it. Why would it be bad? I mean, I don't
care. I mean, it's naturally found in like meats and nuts, I think. I'm not sure about the nuts, but definitely in meats and stuff. And, you know, as
and
body,
like you said, it's important for everything.
It's look, it does a lot.
Metabolism, carbohydrate,
all your B vitamins all together, all what, 16 of them or whatever, they are essential to nerve conduction, heart health. They literally do thousands of chemical processes in your body that you don't even realize are going on that need B vitamins in order to kind of spur that. You know, they're a coefficient for almost everything in your body, you know. So niacin is B3. You need it. You got to have it. The only thing that I saw about niacin that was, you know, tricky waters was that it can actually elevate blood sugars indirectly, because it has something to do with, you know, it stops your liver. It stops insulin from affecting your liver in order to like keep producing glucose. You know what I mean? So it essentially, if you take too much niacin over the course of, you know, I don't know how many months or whatever, your blood sugars will just naturally be elevated because your liver is producing too much glucose and your insulin can't do anything about it. That eventually you turn insulin resistant.
Exactly.
But
I think that's the biggest. That and the liver enzyme elevation are the two biggest things you have to just keep your eye on. It's, some people are just more sensitive to that. And
but I mean, here's the thing: like, what's going to give you fucking high blood sugars faster? Supplementing with niacin, or you know, eating Oreo cookies with every meal?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's just crazy to think about it and look. It just put it into perspective a little bit. You know what I mean? So, but still, that's like the worst thing that can happen with the niacin, that if you take too much niacin. Everything else, man, you absolutely need it. All B vitamins, you need them. They're essential to life.
So, yeah. I guess we got on that, our little health.
Yeah, we got it anyways.
We got it in, but it was appropriate for this guy, because looking at everything he does, he's doing things right. I don't know. The only other thing I was going to say was he doesn't say how much fish oil he took.
Right.
He doesn't say, I mean, you could always try to switch to krill, which is supposedly a little better, a little more potent. He mentions red rice yeast, and I just want to make sure that he's aware of this. You know, red rice yeast is actually, if it's the real one,
yep.
If it's the real one, it actually is a statin. It can affect you just like it would a statin. So you need to make sure, again, you're watching your liver enzyme elevation. You know, you still got the potential for, you know, muscle issues and cramps and, you know, from, God forbid, rhabdomyolysis, if you ever got that. So red rice yeast is one of those things that's over the counter, but it actually can have some pretty potent side effects, just like any statin would. So, you know, that sounds innocuous when you say I started red rice yeast, but make sure you know that that actually is a pretty, can be pretty strong and have side effects too. And you got to watch the liver enzymes, just like you would if you started Lipitor, to be honest with you.
You know what's interesting about red rice yeast is that that compound that is technically a statin in it, that can't be sold in a red rice yeast product. That needs to be that compound needs to be extracted because it's a pharmaceutical.
Right, which is why I said if it's real.
If it's real. And that's the problem. All the shit is out there that's red rice yeast, but people think they're getting this extra compound for cholesterol control. It's not in there. It's not going to work because legally they can't sell it. You know?
Exactly.
So that's just this one thing. Look, if this guy really wants to improve his LDLs and HDLs, he didn't say whether, you know, there's things like first of all, fiber. He's not.
Yeah, on my list too.
That's like the number one thing to improve your LDLs versus HDLs. You know, improve that ratio so you have more HDLs, lower your LDLs. You got to have soluble fiber in your diet, man. Insoluble is good, but soluble fiber, that is what's going to kind of escort some of those LDLs out of the system so you shit them out. So that's number one. Number two is garlic, fresh garlic. You got to have lots of garlic in your diet. Fresh garlic, not fucking capsules and shit. And super bio curcumin. Any curcumin, really, that'll help. Those are like the three big ones for actually lowering, you know, or changing the composition of your LDL to HDL ratios. There's, you know, fish oils are great, obviously, also. But even those don't have, like, as thorough of an impact as those top three I just mentioned.
Yeah, and the fish oil that... You know, I think, you know, you're buying over the counter.
We don't know, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you're using a really trustworthy brand like, give me a good one.
Like Life Extension or something.
Like Life Extension, or I think Nordic Naturals is another one. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, you're probably getting pretty good stuff. But if you're grabbing it at the Rite Aid, you know, or the Walmart, you know, you might not even be getting what it even says on the bottle. Maybe... So you might be thinking you're taking 4 grams and you may be only taking a half a gram. Who knows? I mean, if you're taking 4 1,000-milligram tablets. So it all comes down to that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I like your other suggestions too. But I just thought that was a good place to interject the niacin talk because I'm a fan of it. And, when I saw it, you know, when they started poo-pooing it a while ago, you know, I started going, I think we get carried away with studies sometimes.
We definitely do.
I see people quoting one study and they're changing their whole life.
It's too much. It's crazy.
Yeah, you got to let things pan out. Like I don't care how big the study is. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world and smart study designers can pick the right people to have outcomes the way they want them to.
Exactly. You got to take it with a grain of salt, man.
I've learned that over time too.
Use logic. Logic is your best weapon for all this stuff, man, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, he's got some other questions regarding TRT and carterine and stuff, but maybe we can go into carterine and stuff, you know, on a separate question, separate health segment maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, you know, what his question is, his main concern is, you know, is HDLs and LDLs, and I think we gave him some pretty decent suggestions there. Keep us posted. Let us know if you change, you know, your supplementation and decide to throw in, you know, a proper dosing of soluble fiber, some Metamucil Smooth and some fresh garlic and see what happens to those numbers. I bet they change.
I hope you're drinking diet pop too. Diet soda too.
Yeah. Diet's great, man. I'm a diet soda junkie too, so I know all about it.
I'm drinking one right now. One of my last caffeine-free Coke Zeros that I had laying around.
Ah, nice. next question here is from the board. Hey, check this out. Dear 2.3 doctors, how about that?
There you go.
We've exceeded our limitations. We're more than just two people now.
I said that. We scored high. I think you're actually going above me now, which is fucked up.
Wow, that is fucked up. That's not.
Yeah,
that's
I'll not, take it though. I'm okay with that. I'm C grade, man.
Dear 2.3 doctors, I went for an annual physical recently, and my BMI was in between overweight and obese. My doctor said even though I have a lot of muscle mass and low body fat, striated delts, visible abs, etc., compared to his average patients, I should still lose weight to get into that normal fucking retard. Get in that normal range.
You didn't even finish it. I was gonna let you at least finish that, but come on.
I couldn't even help myself. It was just like a knee jerk reaction. You know, it was like you hit that tendon, you jerk your knee. Yep.
I'm gonna shut up. Then I'm gonna go off.
According to the BMI charts, so normal range for him. He says I'm 5'8" and 193 pounds. I know BMI is basically useless for bodybuilders since it doesn't take into account body composition, but the visit with the doctor made me think about if carrying around extra weight, even if it is muscle, could be unhealthy. Do you think that it's unhealthy and taxing on the body? I'm thinking of the heart in particular, to carry around extra weight long term, even if that weight is muscle and not fat. Obviously, I don't want to be 80 years old and this weight, but would spending 15 or so more years at this weight be detrimental to downsizing? I'm 30 years old right now. None of my blood work is out of range. My blood pressure is normal, and I feel good. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Thank you for the question, and Doc, go.
Fuck BMI.
Yeah.
I hate that. I don't even know why we check it. The only thing it's good for to me is to prove to an obese person that they are obese. Right. If I'm staring at a guy...
It's a good visual aid, you know?
if I'm staring at a guy... Or for kids, it's good. Because parents don't understand, you know, that Billy's 11 and he's 230. They think Billy's cute. And mm-hmm. I look at him and I tell him, look, I can't even put this dot on the page. Billy's off the page. That's not mm-hmm. good for me. So yeah. I hate BMI. I hate it especially for... exercise people. I'm not just going to say bodybuilders. I'm going to say people who exercise. I mean, anyone who puts on some muscle. So what I look at when I see a patient, if I'm going to tell them they're obese, by the way, there is one benefit from your doctor telling you you're obese. And if he puts that down in your chart, you can use that to get so much blood work done by your insurance. It's not even funny. and if you're obese and you're fatigued, you can get anything you want done. So, hey, thank him for that. Yeah. He just gave you a diagnosis that's bullshit, there but it may have benefit you. You're 5'8", 193. I hope that that's not going to kill you because we're about the same size when I'm not fat, which I am right now. And, you know, if I was looking at you and you're a lean guy, it's 193 and you're a bodybuilder, I wouldn't even BMI would – I wouldn't even talk to you about that. It's ridiculous. But is it going to hurt you? Now, here's the flip side. Being too muscular, can it hurt you? And I think, unfortunately, we may have seen the results of that recently. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what the number is, but I don't think our body was made to be 3% body fat and 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's where we're going to get into. And even if you're 5'8 and 193 and you're really lean, but you got a blood pressure of 190 over 100 all the time, you're going to get into the cardiomyopathy things. You're going to get into kidney trouble. You're going to get it. But you're telling me your blood works fine. Your blood pressure is normal. You feel great. And I'm sure you look great.
Mm-hmm.
No, you sound extremely healthy to me. And I wouldn't bat an eye at that. Now, if we're talking just how big is too big, I don't know. But I think 300 pounds of lean muscle is maybe pushing the envelope. That's when people... I mean, I'm just saying, I'm throwing a number out there because of what we're seeing, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I agree.
You know, you said something to me was kind of like profound. Did you say it on here? Did you say it on BNR? But see, I can't tell. I feel like I'm listening to a podcast all the time.
It's always on. Doesn't shut off.
You talked about your dogs and we talked about these giant, you talked about it. And it was like, I was like, dude, that's so right. Like mm-hmm. we can extrapolate that into humans. Like,
sure, sure.
I mean, I think we can, like giant breed dogs, like your Mastiff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even boxers who aren't giant breeds, but they're more big muscular sort of breeds, they have lower life expectancy because they have more heart problems mm-hmm. and things like that. And then you look at humans and you see 340-pound bodybuilders passing away at young ages from things like that, and it just makes you wonder. But I can't tell you what weight is wrong, but I can tell you that at 5'8", 193, and a guy with perfect blood work, healthy blood pressure, normal, your doctor's – that's your yes, no, you're going to be fine. No, you know, no, you're healthy. I mean, at least I hope you are because we're about the same size. You know what I mean?
No, 193. Come on, man. And 193 is like a medium. You know what I mean? It's like,
I don't see how that's obese.
That's not even a large. That's like medium. I mean, that's crazy. The doctor is obviously he's an idiot. You know, any doctor that's using a BMI chart is basically an idiot. So
I mean, this is where we fall into these freaking traps. All we do is look at freaking values and numbers and this and that. You can't treat people. You got to treat people. You can't treat fucking papers.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A number. Oh, you're supposed to be 176, Bill. You need to be – because I can tell you right now, to get his BMI in a normal range because he's about the same height as me, I believe the number is 176 to get – he'd need to be 176. Now, what's worse, him pushing himself down to 176 or being 193 and healthy?
And happy, right?
Yeah, you know, you're basically telling someone to lose 20 pounds who doesn't really need to.
No. No, fuck no. Absolutely not. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. What an idiot. No.
I hate that BMI because I'm – dude, actually, when I'm over like 220 like I am now, I'm considered morbidly obese at 5'8", I believe.
Well, Jesus, I according to BMI, I've been morbidly obese since I was 9 years old. I should be – I should be dead by now. You know what I mean?
Okay. I can't lie. I really was morbidly obese. Regardless of the BMI, you know?
So, you know, that whole – I mean, it's got no – it holds no water, nothing. It's just a complete shit scale. And your doctor's an idiot for telling you that you need to lose any weight at all. You're perfectly fine. Look, if you were 300 pounds with terrible blood pressure, blood work that is horrible, then lose fucking 100 pounds. Probably that would be a good idea. But if you're 300 pounds with great blood pressure and your blood work is just perfect, who out of those two people do you think needs to lose weight? You know what I mean?
It doesn't even make sense.
Right.
And you know what's really, really screwed up? Is that this shit, that BMI, I hate that fucking number. I really do. Because listen, that actually can fuck you on like life insurance.
Wow. Yeah, you're right, man. I never even thought of that.
It can put you in obese. Look, the positive is you can get all the blood work you want because you can claim you're obese. If your doctor writes and puts obese as the diagnosis, now you can get your cholesterol paid for. You can get your thyroid paid for. You can get your sugar paid for. You can get your A1C paid for. But then you go to apply to local life insurance and they go, oh, your BMI is 34.
Oh, boy.
You're obese. That's going to cost you 10 extra bucks a month or right. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know? That is the number. The one of medicine, that is one of my most hated things that I've ever come across. And because it doesn't fit most healthy people, it only fits obese people who, I mean, obviously, you don't need a BMI to see someone who's sitting on a chair and you can't see the chair.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy, man. That whole system is
nuts. You're good, bro. I think you're good.
Yeah. More than good. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're just fine.
And, oh, he said he wouldn't want to be that way at 80. I don't know about that. Listen, if you're still muscular and you're 193 at 80 years old, that's going to protect you from a whole lot of things that kill old people, like broken hips and falling.
Yep.
And osteoporosis. So hey,
especially if you're especially if you're 80 years old and lean and your blood work and your blood work is good and your blood pressure is normal, that's just fine. You can't put that much stock into what you weigh as being, you know, your problem. You know,
nope.
It's crazy.
This was a good one, man, because when I read it, I hate that BMI.
Yeah, nah, I think everybody should hate that BMI. If they don't already, I can't believe that we're even talking about it. I thought it was like an archaic thing, you know?
They still track that thing.
I can't believe that. What the hell, hey, man?
Dude, I work in urgent care. Everyone knows that who's listening to this show.
Yeah.
In our urgent care, everyone who comes in gets a BMI calculated at the urgent care even.
Wow.
I really don't understand that, but. You know, I don't get why they do that, but it is. I think it's automatic from the vital signs. It's like a vital sign almost now.
It's part of the physical, huh? That's what it
is. it's not even part of the physical. The nurse calculates it. It's part of the vitals. They put in your height and weight. They put in your height and weight, and it gives them a BMI, and it goes in the spot next to pulse, blood pressure, and pulse ox.
Wow.
I never look at it, so there you go.
Well, man, I think we beat that to death. I think he's good. Yeah,
we're getting close to beating a lot of these to death. We might have to.
we gotta
get the therapy.
Yeah, let's answer one more question, and then I gotta get the fuck out. But
are you gonna grab the email, maybe?
Yeah, you know, I think that – did we already do both? I think we did both on the email already. We did both emails, I think.
That's
yeah.
What was the name? Let's see.
Yeah, we did
– I think there was a couple more on the other one you could jump to real quick.
There was? I don't see it, Doc. I've only got the
– Okay, let me let me go to this one real quick. Here we go. Let's go. I can read.
Okay.
So this one says, this is the next email question. By the way, guys, thank you for the questions. Here's the issue. I think we're going to have to start recording 3 times a week.
Oh boy. Got questions. People listening. That's good though. I think, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
This is a good one because it's kind of, it had me perplexed. I'm not really sure, but I kind of have some ideas. So gentlemen, I have a weird question/situation. And since you excel at those, because we're weird, figured you could help me out. For as long as I can remember, anytime I consume whey protein, whether via a shake or mixed up as a thick sludge, I seem to regurgitate it, in quotes, every single time. It's not a bad thing because it doesn't cause GI distress, gas, or anything like that at all. It simply comes up and I basically re-eat it for the next hour.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Couldn't think of a less disgusting way to describe that, guys. I've only ever used whey isolates from True Nutrition or Dimetize ISO 100, so it's not like, you know, he's not using some cheap stuff. Any ideas at all? Have you heard of anyone experiencing this? Could it be a mild allergy reaction or something like that? It's not unpleasant, especially when dieting, because this is fucking disgusting. Because the flavor essentially doesn't change. I promise I'm not going. I'm not going for the most disgusting post ever, but it remains curiosity that I'd like the brain power of 1.86 doctors. 1.86. We're all over the place.
We are. Yeah. We're in the positive though. Everything's like way above a C grade. So that's amazing.
Well, yeah. This was an interesting one. I mean, listen, my first thought was, yeah, your body doesn't like whey protein, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, you maybe have a little bit of underlying reflux, you know, that just that specific food, I'll call it, is triggering. I mean, if it's literally sort of – it sounds like he's, what, throwing it back up and eating it, right?
And it's only happening with whey isolate, right? It's not happening with any other drinks. It's just happening with whey isolate.
He just mentioned just his whey protein. Even if he puts it in, like, you know, you can make sludge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if he makes it a sludge, he pukes it back up.
Yeah.
But he eats it anyway.
Yeah, that's – yeah. Everything is pointing towards like a food allergy. Like I bet that if he does digest it, you know, he probably has like bloating in his stomach that he doesn't realize, you know, in his guts. He might be even more farty during the day. I don't know if he said that or not, but this 100% sounds like an allergy to me.
Yeah, I mean, his body doesn't seem to want that.
No,
it's telling him something. And the only other thing I could think of is I think I know who wrote this. I leave the names out, guys, all the time unless someone says. So even when I send – we look at the questions, I edit them. But, I mean, obviously there are, you know, people who have acid reflux with certain foods, right? I mean, if I eat a whole pizza like I did Sunday night,
attaboy.
I tend to regurgitate back. I don't eat it, but I'll get some heartburn from it. So it could be a food allergy. Your body may not like that, but there's a couple other things like, you know, if you've ever had any trouble digesting anything else, maybe you want to try like an anti-acid medicine, eat like something like omeprazole for a couple weeks, just over the counter. It's over the counter. So, you know, I don't mind recommending that to see if you notice any difference.
Hmm.
The other thing is, I mean, you can look at things like gastric emptying time. I don't know why you'd have a gastroparesis, but there are some medicines that can help sort of prokinetics, we call them, that can help sort of sweep things through your gut a little faster. People with diabetes, because they get neuropathies towards the end, not all diabetics, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but we know that that can cause neuropathy, right? So they also can get stomach neuropathy. Basically, we call it diabetic gastroparesis, where their stomach doesn't sweep, the peristalsis is slow, which means the little waves that move our food through our gut, the peristaltic action slows down because the nerves are fucked up. And they end up needing things like Reglan, which is a prokinetic agent that can help their stomach muscles move a little faster to sweep things through. I'm not saying go fucking on the local website and buy Reglan. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you ideas of things that could potentially be. But I would think you would have other issues besides just whey protein. So – You try an antacid. You know, you could look into see if it maybe is a gastric paresis issue for some reason, or maybe don't. I don't know. Try a different type of protein. Maybe switch to what?
Egg white. Go to egg white. It's very, very calm. Very. A lot of people have egg allergies too, though. You know.
But we're all different. Maybe try a casein. See what happens when you do a casein. Yeah, it's not perfectly fast, but it'll give you an idea.
It doesn't matter, man. Casein, egg white. It does. They're all high quality protein sources. You know, as long as you're eating throughout the rest of the day too, it doesn't matter whether it's fast or slow. That's like a common misconception. Like, oh, I need a fast protein right now. No, you don't. Just get some fucking protein in. It doesn't matter. Fast, slow, whatever. You know. So try casein. Try egg white. Try a whole egg. Fucking can of tuna. How about that? You know? But definitely, I just, you know, if that were me and if that were happening to me, I would nix the whey isolate so quickly. You know what I mean? That would just not even be on the menu anymore.
Yeah. I mean, do we need that really? I mean, when I'm dieting or even when I'm like now that I'm cleaning things up, I don't even know if I'll use shakes.
They're very handy. If you can digest them, they're very quick. That's great too. But man, if you got a problem like this, then it makes zero sense to even try to get it down. Why?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't swallow it back down.
Look, 90% of what you eat, it's 90% of it is all about what you assimilate. So if you're having problems in the first quarter of your elementary tract, forget about the rest of it. It's not going to work. You know what I mean?
it's crazy. And it just makes me wonder if he has some other issues that he is not really in tune to.
Sure, sure. Could be.
And maybe he eats such a consistent diet that his other foods don't bother him and the whey is the only thing that is. Whereas if he was, let's say, you know, not being strict and just eating whatever, he may notice he has more problems with other things. You know, he may eat such a small variety of foods like a lot of bodybuilders do, you know, that – the only thing he's noticing is he gets that reflux sort of regurgitation with the whey. Who knows? Maybe if he ate fucking peanut butter jelly sandwiches and tuna and chips, maybe he would get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a reflux problem and he needs, you know, he's got relaxed lower esophageal sphincter pressure. And for some reason that just comes up when he does it. So that's a tough one, but I would figure out how to nix that whey. There ain't no way I would be double eating it.
Or triple or whatever it is. How many times coming up?
That just gave me the fucking creeps thinking about it.
Yeah. There's just some stuff that we just can't eat. You know what I mean? And there's no – you can dig and find out what the answer is, and that may take you a very long time to find out. But in the meantime – Why even bother? You know what I mean? Like, just throw it out. Like, you don't need it. You don't need it in your diet. You can get protein other ways, you know?
Yeah. So
that's all I can tell you. Doc, we've got more questions, but we got to wrap this up because I got to get the fuck out of here. You got treatment. I got to go. What else? Are you off all day today? Is that what's going on?
Yep, I'm good. I got a fun night. Stevie's got football practice, but you know, Saturday our games got sort of canceled because we got fucking torrential rain here.
We did too.
You know, you're like, why they canceling football for rain? Well, to be honest with you, our league puts a lot of money and effort into keeping the fields nice, and when it's muddy, it destroys them. They get divot. But it's crazy because they were on. Then they emailed everybody out. They're canceled. Then they put them back on again. So we ended up playing, but two or three of the teams, by the time they re-put the games back on, they couldn't get enough people the families already decided to do something else. So tonight we actually got some football games to watch. So while Stevie's practicing, me and Chrissy are going to go check out a few of the football games and hang out up there. And,
cool.
Just chill. Yeah. It's fun, man. Football season. We love it, man.
Love it. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I got to look at the schedule. I didn't even look at the schedule. I don't even look at pregame. I don't even give a shit about all like the preseason stuff. It doesn't, you know, weighs nothing to me, you know?
It doesn't matter till they play the real season. You're
exactly.
Right. It really does.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't even bother with that. I didn't even bother looking at the schedule, but now I got to go check it out. I think Detroit plays, I don't think they're home. I think they're away. And I think it's a tough game, actually. I forgot who they're playing. Oh, Cardinals. They're playing Arizona.
That should be a tough one.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, you know, in Arizona too. So It'll be cool. It'll be good, though, man. I'm looking forward. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I love football. Yeah, I like fall.
Isn't it the best time of year?
It is, man. It just smells good outside. It smells, smells like football and pumpkin spice and white girls and Uggs. That's what it smells like.
I love it. And, you know, it's crazy. Like, my daughter's high school team, Middletown, they're playing. So last year in the state championship, Middletown and Smyrna High School, which are really close local rivals, they played for the state championship, and Smyrna's won it 2 years in a row. Middletown has lost to, you know, last year. And the first game of the season is this Friday night, and it's Middletown-Smyrna to open the season. It's going to be fucking awesome. I already bought tickets online to a high school game.
No, you can do that? Holy shit.
Dude,
that's crazy.
It's that serious. Like, it's fucking awesome. Like, if you don't do that, like, I was going to go at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the game at 7:30 and sit in a lawn chair because it's going to be sold out.
My God.
It's like Friday Night Lights shit, man. It's fucking awesome. And it's my daughter's first time she's going to be a varsity cheerleader in a huge game. So it'll be cool to see her out there.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, we got a goal. When Stevie's a freshman, Haley will be a senior. And I'm hoping that he at least makes the freshman team, which I don't see why he won't because he's already pretty good. And, you know, just one game, I'll be able to see both my kids on the field together as a cheerleader in football.
That's very cool. That's
a team
cool.
That's a team opting goal since they were 4 years old, man. And I'm hoping it happens. It's going to be awesome. So that's awesome. Like 3 years from now. But this Friday will be Haley's first time out there, so it's going to be cool. And the game's going to be fucking great. So I can't wait till Friday. I can't wait till Saturday. Stevie has a game at 11. I can't wait till Sunday. The Eagles start. I love football. God damn.
Yeah. We may have We may have to record Sunday morning again. It sounds like anyway. So
I'm looking at them. We got a couple more questions already added that we didn't even hit the other ones yet. So
yeah,
we are stocked full of questions, guys. I can't believe we're still doing this, and it doesn't seem like we can stop now. So I hope we're helping somebody or at least entertaining you. But
yeah.
Fun, man. I love doing it.
Yeah, we're having a good time. And
I'm home alone right now. Everyone's gone. It's like, I can talk. I can be as loud as I want.
You can be completely naked right now doing a podcast. That would be great.
In fact, I am.
You're like, this is my dick hitting the microphone. Can you hear it? All right, Doc, I got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. And on that note, the doctors are out.
See you guys.